Hi everyone, welcome to Oscar Wilde, a podcast about film, always counting down to next week's Oscars. I'm Nick Rurkraut.
And I'm Sophia Simonello.
And today is our final Contenders episode. If you made it this far with us, we appreciate you listening all the way through. We are finishing up with the biggest four categories: adapted screenplay, original screenplway, director, and best picture. I'm excited to wrap things up today, talk a little bit about some recent ceremonies. We had BAFTA after our last episode we aired. We don't have SAG yet as of recording, but we'll see how we end the conversation today and see how some of those wins are really finalizing this award season.
Yeah, I'm excited to wrap up our series. We spend, I think, so much time going through each individual category, learning so much about all of the nominees. And by the time we get here, we've really talked about all of these movies in some way, shape, or form, except for one. So we have one new movie to discuss. That is September 5, one of our original screenplay nominees today. But it's been such a fun series so far, and I'm excited to talk about BAFTA at the end of the episode and really give, I think, a little preview maybe for what's to come at SAG and in our final predictions episode that'll air next week.
So let's get started right off with adapted screenplay. Our guilds and precursors here, we have the Writers Guild of America, where Nickel Boys won. The thing with this ceremony is that multiple screenplays are ineligible, including a few of our nominees. So take that into consideration in terms of our conversation today and in predicting. But we also have BAFTA, which went to Conclave, the USC Scripter Awards, which will be this weekend on Saturday, February 22nd, and then Golden Globes, which also went to Conclave, along with the Critics' Choice Awards. So our Oscar nominees, we have A Complete Unknown, written by James Mangold. This is his third nomination, but second in the category, and Jay Cox, this is his third nomination. Conclave by Peter Strawn, this is his second nomination. Amelia Perez by Jacques Audiard, this is his second nomination, first in this category. And this was in collaboration with Thomas Bidegain, Leah Mesias, and Nicholas Levecki. They are all first-time nominees. Nickel Boys, screenplay by Ramel Ross. This is his second nomination and first in the category. And Jocelyn Barnes, this is her third nomination and first in the category. And Sing Sing, screenplay by Clint Bentley and Greg Quidar. And story by Clint Bentley, Greg Quidar, Clarence Macklin, and John Devine G. Whitfield. And they are all first-time nominees. So we didn't see Clarence Macklin show up in supporting actor, but he did get an Oscar nomination here. So I am happy about that. What do you think about these five nominees as a group?
I definitely think our original screenplay nominees are stronger than our adapted screenplay nominees this year. There is one screenplay here that for me rises far above the rest as an adaptation, and that is Ramel Ross and Jocelyn Barnes' work on Nickel Boys. I think that that is a pretty flawless adaptation that sometimes when I read a book before seeing the film adaptation, I remain very loyal to the book. I don't like the changes that a director or screenwriter will make, or I wish that certain things were included. But here I actually had the opposite experience with Nickel Boys, where the film just felt like the most thoughtful adaptation of Colson Whitehead's words, which that book is pretty perfect. And how Whitehead deals with perspectives is so interesting and historical fact as well. But I think Ross and Barnes really found inspiration and thought, I think Ross specifically thought about what adaptation and documentation means for Black creatives. So this screenplay to me is far above the rest. But as a whole, though, I'm not really enthusiastic about most of these nominations, I'll say, unfortunately. What do you think about the group?
Yeah, I would say Nickel Boys and Sing Sing are my favorites, far and above the other nominees. I think the most interesting aspect of some of these nominees here, it's fun to look at what they're adapted from. And we do have a few novels here, including Nickel Boys, like you mentioned, A Complete Unknown, and Conclave. Amelia Perez was first written as an opera libretto by Odiard, which is loosely adapted from another novel. So I think the pathway it took to getting here is interesting. And the fact that we mentioned previously that it wasn't supposed to be a musical initially, and that's how it turned out.
Well, this explains why the finished product, I think, is as confused and all over the place as it is, maybe.
We have like four different iterations of what it wants to be, I guess.
Yeah.
If you look at it that way. And then Sing Sang is based on the book, but also the play, Breaking the Mummy's Code by Brent Buell. So it's fun in thinking about film as this adaptive medium where you have something like Nickel Boys, where everything you explained, I agree with. There's shock value, there's thrill, there's emotion in Whitehead's writing that you can really see in Ross's visual language. And I really admire that. Whereas in the other nominees, you get that to an extent in whatever genre they're playing in. And then in also thinking about these movies as fictional or based on real life, that affected, I would say, how I connected with some of these movies better than others.
Yeah. Did you read Conclave? I know you read The Nickel Boys.
That's the only one I've read out of these five.
I read Conclave before I saw the movie, and one of the things that was so funny to me about it was I just thought, oh my God, what are they going to do with this ending? Because it feels very jarring when you read it in the book, where I just remember thinking, oh my God, they have to change this. This is going to be handled in the wrong way. People are going to be livid. What's going to happen? And that was my reaction to the book. But the film, I think, actually handled it much better. The screenplay, I think, and how it's used, it doesn't feel as shocking. I think it feels a bit more thoughtful. And in the book, it feels a little bit obvious. Peter Strawn, of course, also wrote Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, which I think is a really great adaptation, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that he was drawn to the book specifically from the part that I liked best in Ralph Fiennes' performance, which is in the book when he gives his homily about wanting a pope who doubts and how doubt is a good thing. So I like how he put that into the screenplay, too. And he was pretty loyal to the book, I think, but again, I thought the way that he constructed these characters and spent the right amount of time with particular characters was really good. With A Complete Unknown, I just have to say, we have to mention your favorite line that we didn't share in our review because not enough people have seen it yet. But because all of these scripts you can also download and read online. But I went to the A Complete Unknown script and I found your line when Sylvie L. Fanning's character says, I'm sure it's fun to be the guy, Bob, but I was the plate.
Kind of shows, I think, how we feel about this category.
So who would your write-in vote be?
My write-in vote is for Nosferatu. This probably comes to no surprise to anybody because of how much I like this movie. And I think from the other iterations that we've seen of this, this still felt so fresh, so dark and moody. Whereas each interpretation feels singular, and Robert Eggers is here absolutely deserved to be made and will stand the test of time in terms of looking at Count Orlok adaptations. What would your write-in vote be?
My write-in vote would be for The Room Next Door, based on What Are You Going Through by Sigrid Nunez. This is, of course, Pedro Almodovar's first English language film. And I love it as an adaptation. I think in its depiction of the relationship between these two women, what it says about death and dying, about female friendship too. And in Tilda Swinton's Actors on Actors interview with Adrian Brody, she said that Pedro Almodovar, regardless of what language the film is in, it's his own language. She called it Almodovarian. And you can feel that melodrama and those exquisitely drawn characters like he has in all of his films.
And what do you think should win?
Like I said before, I think the Nickel Boys should win. And there are many reasons why. The first one really is just the interesting detail of how he dropped the article So the book is called The Nickel Boys, but here the film is just called Nickel Boys. And I encourage you to read interviews with Rommel Ross, because he actually will talk about this, of the universality of this experience and what he wanted to communicate just by dropping a single word from the title. And read the script, read the screenplay online, because there are so many amazing details that he and Jocelyn Barnes included about the POV, and it's just such a unique script. I've never seen anything like it. What would you pick?
I would also pick Nickel Boys. I was extremely moved by the movie itself, and even though it is the only one that I did read from the five, you can immediately tell that it's such a distinct vision of Rommel Ross and Jocelyn Barnes. So I definitely need to check out that screenplay too.
Next up, we have original screenplay. So for our guilds, Anora won at the WGA, A Real Pain won at the BAFTAs, and The Substance won at Critics' Choice. So we have a pretty split race this year. Our nominees are Anora. The screenplay is by Sean Baker. This is his second nomination overall and first in the category. The Brutalist by Brady Corbet. This is his first nomination. And Mona Fastvold. This is her first nomination. A Real Pain by Jesse Eisenberg. This is his second nomination and first in the category. September 5 by Moritz Binder and Tim Felbaum, co-written by Alex David. They are all first-time nominees. And The Substance by Coralie Farget. This is her first nomination. What do you think of original screenplay as a category?
I would still say I'm somewhat mixed, but I'm definitely more mixed positive on these. We can talk about September 5 in a second, but I think my highest ones here, we have Anora, The Brutalist, and The Substance. The Substance has been making its rounds, I would say, throughout award season for how audacious this screenplay is, written by Coralie. And that is absolutely something that got transferred from page to screen perfectly. She put in all of these emotions and bold script and larger fonts in the screenplay to emphasize what these characters should be feeling and saying, and what you should be feeling as an audience. So I love that. The Brutalist, we've talked about a lot. Anora, we've talked about quite a bit. The Brutalist being the more massive undertaking. Anora is completely different. It's funny. It's emotional. It's sad. It's something that I got completely swept up in when I first saw it, and I enjoyed it just as much on rewatch. For a completely different reason, we talked about its screwball comedy elements previously on our review of the movie, and just how it navigates so many different genres, I would say. I think with A Real Pain, I had difficulty with that screenplay. And September 5, again, our first time talking about it here as a contender, I understand why it's here. I think from people expecting it to show up more, and this being its only nomination, feels a little confused, but I understand that it's part of history, is really important and timely, but I just think overall didn't have the total effect it wanted to have on me, I would say. How do you feel about that one and the category as a whole?
So for the category as a whole, I do prefer these nominees, and I enjoyed looking over these screenplays too, just to see the different writing styles. And another thing here too is that a lot of these here that we have are written by the director. So Anora, Sean Baker is writing and directing. The Brutalist, Brady Corbet is writing alongside his wife, Mona Fastvold. He's also directing. A Real Pain, Jesse Eisenberg is our director. September 5, Tim Felbaum is the director. The Substance, Coralie Farget, directing. So I think when you have the director also as the writer, you get to see, I think, so many unique details of their vision in the script. And that's what I had the most fun with in this category, was just looking into those and seeing, you know, how descriptive Coralie Farget is about those opening scenes, about the egg yolk splitting in two, about Elizabeth Sparkle's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and it deteriorating over time. The ketchup, the visual detail of that and seeing that on the first pages was so interesting. And then same with The Brutalist, getting to see how music factored in to the script and how voiceover, that opening letter where we hear Erzsébet in voiceover, and at the same time that we hear that, the script is also telegraphing what Laszlo is experiencing, who Laszlo is. They describe him as with a broken nose, and then it says the face of an immigrant. Like, it's just, I think, so beautiful in how those details come through. And then with something like Enora, for me, that is just all about tone and character. Being able to go from something that feels light and really funny to something that has the sense of danger to it. And it never feels like tonal whiplash. I think it eases you into it and it always feels like the right decision. That's what stood out to me in that script. And with A Real Pain, I think with Jesse Eisenberg, what was cool in listening to him talk about the screenplay through the writer's roundtable with The Hollywood Reporter was that he talked about how personal this was for him, down to casting his real daughter as his daughter in the movie and going to his family's real home, putting those personal details into it. But he also talked about how Kieran Culkin, his character, Benji, was his id. And he started writing the character that way and thinking of this person who was able to openly express everything that they were feeling, including grief, in a way that Eisenberg felt that he couldn't as a person, not just that his character couldn't. And he said he would just be at the library and would be crying, writing it, and thinking about how this is a part of him that is just untouched or untapped. So as much as I don't really care for that movie too much, I thought that it was interesting hearing about his writing process. And for September 5, I saw it back in September, I mean, a long time ago, and I just kind of, it didn't really leave a mark on me, truthfully. I didn't really expect it to have a place really in the Oscar conversation. I know people were pushing it in, but in reading about it, I did think it was interesting that they used these firsthand accounts of people who were there at the time, specifically Jeffrey Mason, who was the ABC Sports producer who had been there in Munich. And he really helped the writing of that character and ultimately became a co-producer on the film. So I think it's interesting in how it captures those specificities of the news cycle.
And what would your write-in vote be?
My write-in vote would be for Janet Planet, a movie that I absolutely loved. And I think this is just such a beautiful, detailed film with characters I will just never forget. Lacey, this 11-year-old girl, and her mother, Janet, they're just so different and so unique, but also they feel so real to that Western Massachusetts environment in the summer. And I think that good summer movies, summer memories should leave you feeling a little bit melancholy. And that's what Janet Planet did for me. I think Annie Baker is a tremendous talent. She's a playwright, too. And I can't wait to see what she does next. What would your write-in vote be?
Mine is for another summer movie. I like this theme we went with.
I just realized that when I saw what you had written down here, and I just said that.
Mine is for a completely different movie, though. It's called Snack Shack. I mentioned it a few times. I love this movie so much. It does leave you with some melancholy also, but it's a dialogue-heavy movie, and I think it works for all of the characters involved. It gets the vibe right of having the summer off, having to find a job, make money, going off to college soon. It has all that summer nostalgia for your childhood, for growing up. It gets all of that so perfectly, and I love revisiting this movie. It's so funny. It's a little crass, but I think it's such a fun time and one of my favorites from the year.
And who do you think should win?
I'm going to go with The Substance here. I love how fun the screenplay is. She just kept taking it there over and over and over again and never stopped. And I think that's why this movie works so well and has so many fans for all of those little details that she really put into every line in the script. What do you think should win?
This is a hard one. I'm actually torn here, but I think I'm actually going to go with Enora. This, to me, stands out, I think, even more than the direction. And again, I loved reading the script. And I think what I talked about before of the changes in tone, and I think what we see with Annie as a character and the self-deception and her journey throughout the film, I really liked. So I'm going to go with Anora.
Next, we have Best Director. Our precursors here, we have the DGA, which Sean Baker took, the Golden Globes and BAFTA, which Brady Corbet both won. And then at the Critics' Choice Awards, who is not nominated here, John M. Chu won. Our nominees, they are all first-time nominees. Jacques Audiard, this is his third nomination overall. Sean Baker, this is also his third nomination overall. Brady Corbet, this is his second nomination. James Mangold, this is his fourth nomination. And Coralie Farjah, this is her second nomination. It's very rare for us to have all five first-time nominees here. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that and just our group as a whole?
I love that we have all first-time nominees. I was actually surprised to learn earlier this season that James Mangold was a first-time nominee. I think just because he's been around for so long. And he made Walk the Line, which was successful at the Oscars, and a number of films. I had completely forgotten that this would have been his first nomination. But yeah, I always like when that happens. And I think here we have a good mix of indie filmmakers, genre filmmakers, international filmmakers. And we also have a woman, which is very exciting for a dollar name a woman, Coralie Farjah. I am just happy that she got in. And I would have nominated Payal Kapadia as well for All We Imagine as Light, but the direction of The Substance, I think, was what stood out to me when I first saw it. And it just felt like, oh, that will be a really cool nomination, but it maybe won't happen because it's a genre film and we know they have bias and everything. But I'm very glad that she's here. I would replace some of these, but what I like here is just how different all of these filmmakers are, all of their styles, and they do feel very specific to that individual. And in some cases, I think it's their best work so far. I mean, specifically with Sean Baker and Brady Corbet, and even Coralie Farjah, I'll say too, the films that they've made feel very signature to their style and to the types of topics and characters they're looking into exploring. But it's like they've leveled up a bit. Like for Sean Baker, Anora, I think, is his best film. Coralie is definitely exploring similar themes that she did in Revenge, but it feels, I think, even more timely and heightened. And Brady Corbet, this is a film he's wanted to make and been trying to make for 7 years and is a major, major level up to Vox Lux. I'm sorry to the fans of Vox Lux listening, but I vastly prefer The Brutalist.
I have to agree. I know we had that experience together, which maybe just an out-of-body experience, but I feel similarly about these five. I'm excited that they're all here for the first time. It definitely shakes things up. Would I like to have seen Denis Villeneuve? Obviously, but I think the range of material we got here from these five directors is all so unique, and I can at least appreciate all of their different styles. What would your write-in vote be?
My write-in vote would be for Ramel Ross for Nickel Boys. I really wanted this nomination to happen and was upset that it didn't. I would kick out Odiard or Mangold, both honestly for him and Payal Kapadia. But I think what Ramel Ross does in Nickel Boys is singular. He's creating a new cinematic language, and I think his film will be taught in film school for years to come. Like, decades from now, people will be studying Nickel Boys. He does something that's completely new, and it reminded me of films that I've seen that have played with point of view, like Max Ophüls films, but in a totally new way, completely different language. So I would go with Ramel Ross for Nickel Boys. Who would you pick?
I love that choice. I'm glad he at least won the DGA first-timer award. I'm going to go with Helena Rain because I loved Baby Girl. I know it didn't get any nominations, but I think her direction there and what she's able to do with Nicole in her performance is not anything I would have expected.
I love that choice.
It's an inspired choice, but yeah, I love all of the little direction she gives her actors, but also with sound. and how it all comes together, it really overwhelms you in positive and negative ways. And I think that's part of the movie, is working through trauma, your past, and vices for sure with different characters. It's such a fun movie, and it's one of my favorites from the year also.
I love that. And who do you think should win?
I'm going to say Sean Baker or Brady Corbet. Honestly, Coralie Farjah should also be up there. It's a three-way tie for me, but Anora and The Brutalist are in my top five of the year, and I really do think they are masterpieces in their own way. They're both telling delicate stories that are so unique, and I'm not sure would work if it weren't directed by them. And I think that's the mark of a great director. So I would say one of them. What do you think?
I would go with Brady Corbet for The Brutalist. I think the scale of the film, shooting it in VistaVision, returning to this old format, and recalling these films of the 50s and 60s was just thrilling to experience. It was event cinema. Getting to just see Laszlo waking up on the ship and going up to the deck and seeing the Statue of Liberty and just seeing his journey and what it meant for him as an artist. The locations and the way it was shot and captured, there are just scenes from this film that I'll never forget. And I think it is just such a clear vision from him, and one that, like I said, took a long time, but I'm so glad finally came to fruition and we have it this year and in the Oscar conversation. Our last category, the big one, Best Picture. Our precursors here, we have the PGA, or the Producers Guild, that went to Anora. The Golden Globes, those are split categories. So drama went to The Brutalist, and comedy musical went to Amelia Perez. BAFTA went to Conclave. Critics' Choice went to Anora, and SAG Ensemble, still to be determined. Those winners will be announced on February 23rd. So our nominees here, we have Anora. Our producers are Alex Coco. This is his first nomination. Samantha Kwan, this is her first nomination. And Sean Baker, this is his fourth nomination and first in the category. The Brutalist, our nominees are Brady Corbet. This is his third nomination and first in the category. Nick Gordon, Brian Young, Andrew Morrison, and DJ Guggenheim, they are all first-time nominees. A Complete Unknown, Fred Berger, this is his second nomination. James Mangold, his fifth nomination and second in the category. And Alex Heineman, this is his first nomination. Conclave, we have all first-time nominees here. Tessa Ross, Juliet Howell, and Michael A. Jackman. Dune Part 2, we have Mary Parent, this is her third nomination. Cale Boyder, this is his second nomination. Tanya Lapointe, this is her first nomination. And Denis Villeneuve, this is his fourth nomination and second in the category. Amelia Perez, we have Pascal Cochetou, this is his first nomination, and Jacques Audiard, this is his fourth nomination and first in the category. I'm Still Here, we have Maria Carlota Bruno and Rodrigo Teixeira, they are both first-time nominees. Nickel Boys, we have Dee Dee Gardner, she has two wins in picture for 12 Years a Slave and Moonlight, and this is her sixth nomination. Jeremy Kleiner, he also shares those wins with Dee Dee Gardner for 12 Years a Slave and Moonlight. And he has five other nominations. And Jocelyn Barnes, this is her fourth nomination and first in the category. We have The Substance, Coralie Farjah, this is her third nomination and first in the category. Tim Bevan, this is his sixth nomination. And Eric Fellner, this is his seventh nomination. And lastly, we have Wicked. Our producer is Mark Platt. This is his fourth nomination. What do you think of our picture 10? And we'll use this time also to just talk about how the picture race is shaping up, because we've talked about each of these films throughout the Contender series. And I'm so curious what we think of the picture race right now and where it stands, because we're in a split year. It's so different from last year where Oppenheimer was just sweeping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think with this group as a whole, we have a great selection of movies from throughout the year. I don't know if these are the 10 movies that I would put as 2024, but I think we have a good number of them that are indicative of what audiences love this year, what critics love this year. Just mentioning even the precursors, we have a splattering of our nominees there. So I think it does show that there was something for everybody this year. I guess in terms of BAFTA, because that was our last ceremony that just happened, and Conclave took picture there. It also took Best British Film there. And because of the voting window, I was expecting a more brutalist, heavy ceremony versus Anora, because I feel like Anora, unless you've been predicting it all season, I think is very rare. That happened also very quickly last weekend with PGA and DGA, and then WGA also going to Anora. And it was interesting to see that the international body, or at least the British body, went for Mikey Madison, not Demi Moore, but then still went with Conclave for picture. So I think it's a matter of looking at the American bodies and guilds and factoring in the international body, which I think keeps it pretty open before SAG in terms of what could really happen. It is really split, I would say. And I think it's looking more like Anora and Conclave right now. But it's not even just a conversation of Best Picture. It's a conversation of Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actress, and also screenplay in there. So it does mix things up, I would say, across the board, not just in this one category. How did you feel about all of the wins, and how did that affect maybe how you think about the picture race?
Yeah, so what was interesting was that we had this huge weekend for Anora when it won PGA and DGA in the same night. And that really, depending on where you had Anora before, either solidified its place or number one, or made it really catapult back into that first frontrunner position. So BAFTA not giving Anora screenplay was odd. I thought, okay, what are we doing here? Going with a real pain? Do they hate Anora? But then seeing Mikey Madison win actress, that was interesting, because that actually makes a lot of sense if you do have Anora winning picture to have her winning actress. It's very possible. I think we see two outcomes with Anora, which is on its best day, it gets the Annie Hall combination, which is picture, director, original screenplay, actress. Or it could be like Nomadland, picture, director, actress. And the reason I bring up Nomadland is because Frances McDormand's Sign of Strength was at BAFTA. That was where we first saw it and realized that it wasn't going to be Carey Mulligan and it wasn't going to be Viola Davis. So I think that we could see, due to the strength of her movie, Mikey win Best Actress. But again, SAG is still in play, but I don't know. I think we're seeing definitely a split with the love for Anora, definitely feeling more American, feeling more within the American guilds. The Brutalist, to me, is out of the picture race. It's Conclave or Anora. I think the Brutalist needed to win film at BAFTA, but it did still have a good showing. Getting director, actor, cinematography, and score, those feel like good places to award that movie. Director is the shakiest, I think, of those four winning spots, for sure. But what's going to be interesting is SAG, because if SAG goes with Conclave, then we have something interesting happening, which is you have the BAFTA Best Film winner and the SAG Ensemble winner in Conclave, along with an almost guaranteed adapted screenplay win and a strong chance of winning editing. That's a good combination against Anora's PGA-DGA combination. If Conclave wins there, I think it keeps it interesting. I still think Wicked might win SAG Ensemble. That feels very much like something they could do. They clearly love the movie. It is a popular cast. Excuse my song quotation. It's a diverse cast. The film did really well. And it reminds me a lot of when Hidden Figures won, or when Black Panther won that award, or when these like bigger, more populist films win that prize. So I could see Wicked winning there. If Anora wins Ensemble, I think it's over. I think Anora is guaranteed to win Picture, but if something else wins, it keeps it interesting. I think in order for Conclave to win Picture, though, it has to win SAG Ensemble. I would need to see that to predict that.
The thing to also look at with SAG is our four actors that are going to win. Will it be Mikey Madison or Demi Moore? I think I'm more inclined to say Demi Moore. And then if we think Wicked is going to win SAG Ensemble, could Ariana actually sneak in there? Again, I don't think it's likely.
I wish, but I don't think so.
But I think we have our supporting actors locked and potentially actor as well. It really is up to actress. And then if they double up and go Mikey and Anora, then I think, yes, it's definitely solidified. My thing with screenplay, and I feel this way every year, is I just don't understand sometimes why we're going with the winners that we are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we talk about Nickel Boys. I would love Nickel Boys, but it's been Conclave pretty consistently all season. And A Real Pain is one that I have been worried about since the beginning. But the fact that the international body went with it, I am not surprised in the least. Also because it's Jesse Eisenberg. And he's been around for a while. So that could be a more heated race also, if we're thinking Anora, or if we're looking at our different precursor wins there. It really does come down to the package and what we're looking at for the film, which I think is fun and will keep me up late in figuring out my predictions before our next episode. We can maybe get into a little bit more of maybe what we think about our winners when we do, who do we think should win? So I guess firstly, what would your write-in vote be?
My write-in vote would be for my favorite film that was not nominated for Best Picture, but made a valiant effort to get in, and that is Challengers. When I think back to the films of 2024, Challengers will always be one that I think of just because it held my number one spot really until the fall festivals. I loved this movie. I saw it multiple times in theaters. I love the performances, the direction. I just think it's so fun, and it was one of my favorite theater-going experiences last year. I love the score, the costume design, really everything about it. And I think it would have been such a fun addition to the Best Picture lineup. What would your write-in vote be?
I also agree with you there. Another movie that I really loved from the year, it could have been Baby Girl, it could have been The Wild Robot, but I'm going to say Sing Sing, because that movie did bowl me over pretty hard when I saw it. And I think it does have a pretty wide appeal, and it's a very entertaining movie. I think maybe its release just kind of got lost in the shuffle, and maybe that's why we aren't talking about it as much, but I think it definitely also should have a place here in Best Picture.
And for fun, for our last question of what do you think should win, we're going to share our rankings, because that's how they vote at the Oscars. They vote by preferential ballot. So count down from 10 to 1.
So my number 10 is Conclave.
Wow. Oh my gosh. So you're going to be really sad if Conclave wins.
Yeah, we're not starting on a good note, are we?
No, wow. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, my number 10 is Emilia Perez.
And that is my number 9.
My number 9 is A Complete Unknown.
Well, we're really laddering it here. That's my number 8.
Our difference is going to be right here. My number 8 is Dune Part 2.
Oh no. This is kind of where my list gets good, and it's a little bit harder, I think, to rank one by one, because 7 sounds like a low number, but my number 7 here is The Substance.
My number 7 is Conclave. So still like back half of the pack, mm-hmm. for sure. Yeah.
My number 6 is Wicked.
My number 6 is also Wicked.
My number 5 is Dune Part 2.
My number 5 is The Substance.
And then my number 4 is The Brutalist.
My number 4 is Anora.
Ooh. My number 3 is Nickel Boys.
My number 3 is I'm Still Here.
Which is my number 2.
My number 2 is Nickel Boys.
And my number 1 is Anora.
My number 1 is The Brutalist.
Well,
I like our ballots. You having Conclave a 10 is fascinating to me.
I really just went by my Letterboxd ratings, and I stand by it. I will say that. Honestly, Nickel Boys is a winner. I like that that's in our top 3 here.
Yeah, that would be our winner if we did a combined. I think if we like did our preferential ballot, Nickel Boys would be Nickel Boys, then I'm Still Here, then Anora.
And honestly, give it good. To either of those three. I like that.
Yeah, let's give it to Nickel Boys. So that's our picture winner. Our Oscar Wilde picture winner is Nickel Boys.
Do we think it's going to be a picture director split? Is another fun question.
I need to think about it a little bit more. I think I'm going to come prepared with my statistics and a deeper understanding when we get to our predictions, but I might predict a split.
This is a good little preview for our next episode, but we definitely have a bigger chance, I would say, of a split than we have in recent years. So I guess that's a good way to close out the episode, end our contender series with that preferential ballot reading. But I love doing this series. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, hearing us talk about every single nominee that will be at the ceremony. And I'm excited to see how this race is going to wrap up. I can't believe we just have another week before the ceremony.
We talked about 120 nominees.
Wow.
Throughout this contender series, and it was honestly so fun. I always feel like I appreciate the filmmakers, their crafts, all the different technical components of the movies when we do this series. So thank you all so much for listening. We will be back next time with our final Oscar predictions. And that's always really fun. But thank you all for listening. If you like our show, please feel free to rate, review, and follow. You can find us on Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, TikTok at Oscar Wilde Pod. And for bonus content, you can go to patreon.com/Oscar Wilde. And you can check out our updated winner predictions at oscarwilde.squarespace.com.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.